Hi, welcome to Channeling WordPress by John Wood. This is Season 1, Episode 3. This podcast will focus on domain name and hosting. By this time, you have a pretty good idea of who you want to publish for, what your website's point will be, and some basic concepts to think about. Now, let's get into some meat and bones. Two things that you need if you just wanted to jump into building a website. You need a domain name and you need a place to host your website. Going down the funnel of domain name, you also need to pick a registrar. And a registrar is a place where you register your domain name and you maintain it and you do things like point your domain to whoever your website host is. Generally, if you use some companies, you can get your domain name where you actually will host it. I say you pick a very stable company where you host your domain name, and you leave the hosting to later, because as you will learn in this video later on, this podcast later on, you will likely move your website from host to host to host over the life of it, and your domain name can stay in one place. And there'll be a caution here about getting chumped about moving your domain as well. We'll enter that later because that happens all the time. So let's talk about your domain name. It's easier to talk about what not to do longer than it is talking about what to do. Your domain name should be simple. It really should have common spellings. It would be better if it had some concept of the words that matched what you're doing, or your brand, or who you are. Nickname. Your domain name should be relatively short, and your domain name should also be something that would not involve lingual gymnastics. It should be basically simple and get to the point. So let's talk about what a domain name should not have. And again, a lot of this is my opinion based on about 20 years of experience in building websites. Number one, your domain name should not look like it belongs to anybody else, especially those brands or people who might have trademarked their brand or name. And to research this, you can always go to the U.S. Patent and Trademark website. Look it up. Whenever I do a website for a client, they say, I want to use this domain. I generally look to see if the name itself is somehow branded and trademarked. Your domain name really should not undercut an existing domain. That is a recipe for failure, or potentially, again, infringing on somebody else's right. And you can get in trouble that way by thinking you can slightly spell somebody's brand differently. And then later on, you'll find out that all your efforts might have been for naught because they're going to come after you. For example, you cannot have a domain name with the name WordPress anywhere near it. You can do WP, but if you put the word WordPress in it, even though it's an open source platform, the people who own WordPress will help you understand that they have that word protected. So, you know, you've heard of people that have, in the early days, that they bought all these cool domain names before companies thought websites were cool, like a particular recollection was the word Pepsi. There was a guy that branded Pepsi that did not belong to Pepsi. Pepsi came back, slapped him on the head, and said, we'll take that. And he tried to fight, and he lost. It's pretty much a done deal. If you buy a domain and even sit on it that belongs to a brand, if they find out who you are, they'll say, we'll take the domain. And you will actually literally have to get it. They don't even have to talk to you. They can go to ICANN and file a complaint, and ICANN will say, yeah, sure, that's your domain. It's clearly your brand. And they will help Pepsi grab your domain from you, no matter how long you've owned it. Other things you ought not do in a domain. You ought not have a domain where one of the words could be spelled several different ways. For example, let's just say you said, songsforquiettimes.com. Well, let's talk about the word for. That could be a number. That could be at least three different spellings. F-O-R, F-O-R, F-O-U-R, and then F-O-R-E. Now that is in English. So somebody that was going to go to your website, Songs for Quiet Evenings, would have to guess what you meant when you said four. And the other thing is even then, you know, somebody else could undercut you later on, especially if I think it'd be pretty hard to brand Songs for a Quiet Evening with another website just because they wanted your traffic. So you do, let's say, the domain Songs for a Quiet Evening, and you put the number four in, which I think is the worst of the options, and you become the most popular website out there. You'd have a fight if somebody decided to go Songs, F-O-R-E, Quiet Evenings, or put the number in there. So you don't want something that can be spelled a few different ways. I used to tell clients, your domain name should be easy enough so that somebody can remember it when they're basically drunk, okay? And the other things that I frown on are really long domain names and domain names with hyphens in them. So, for example, if you said, how would you just say it? S-N-T.com. If you said to me, my domain name is S-N-T.com, I would honestly have a problem remembering it down the road. So make it simple. If you can make your domain name kind of lyrical or be a very short sentence that describes what you're about without those confusing spellings, I think that's pretty good. You know, there are a lot of domain names out there. So all you have to do is think and then go to a website that will sell you a domain, and really is what they're doing, and then start searching. And then once you get close to a domain name that you like, go to the USPTO.gov website and see if there is a potential for you infringing on a brand. Pretty simple stuff. And then, of course, take the domain name you're thinking about and put it in a search engine and see if somebody already has a website. Those are basic get a domain name 101 steps that you really ought to do. And it doesn't take that long, but it can save you from wasting a lot of time or spending money needlessly. Now, I said something about being chumped when it comes to registering a domain. Domains are registered at a company that we call registrars. And most of the popular hosting companies will allow you to register a domain. And that's where you maintain it. And that's where you pay your monthly. It's an annual deal to keep your domain registered. Sorry about that, monthly. That's hosting. And even then, you don't pay for hosting monthly. I'll tell you about that later. Here's what happens when it comes time for your domain to register. There are companies out there that send you a letter saying, your domain is about to expire. Send us X amount of dollars, sign this letter, and we will re-register your domain. If you're not awake, you might have forgotten where you registered your domain because you might have done it 3 or 5 years ago, because some companies allow you to register it 3 or 5 years ago. And you'll say, I better do this before I lose my domain. This is a huge, basically a fraudulent process in my view, because here's what has happened to a client of mine on more than one occasion. They get the letter. They say, wow, I need to deal with this. They sign the letter. They even give the company money. They send it in the mail, and then they go about their business thinking that they have registered their domains, but they haven't. Because if that letter is coming from a company that was not their actual registrar, there's another step to complete making sure your registration is complete or your renewal of your domain. And if you don't do that other step, you might be ignoring the actual fee you should have paid the original company, and then your domain could expire because you did not go in and transfer or actually send the code numbers that will allow that company that just scammed you to actually transfer the domain to that company. And in general, those letters, registration costs more. It's a total scam. It's been around forever. And what you always need to do is at least put on your calendar, my domain is going to register. If it's 3 years ahead, put it on whatever calendar you might have 3 years from now on your digital calendar, so you'll get a reminder, and make sure that letters or emails coming from your registrar are basically what we call whitelisted so that they don't go into your spam folder, so you know. At least two occasions, I've actually had to fight to get domains back, number one, and then actually put client websites under additional domains in the meantime while we did that so that their websites were up because it was relevant to their business. So that's kind of the basics of getting a domain name. Now, there's some more technical aspects about DNS and name servers that you might actually have to modify once you've registered a domain and paid for some hosting space. In the next 5 minutes, we're going to talk about hosting. And hosting comes in a couple of different flavors right now. But generally, where WordPress is a superpower tool is that you can host your website in any place that has a Linux server. And in the old days, we just use any old shared hosting with a cPanel. And for most people, a basic Linux hosting versus a Microsoft server hosting worked. And cPanel was friendly because it was a budget process that allowed you to create your own email accounts under the same hosting account. And we talked about why that's not the best idea, but it was cool. WordPress managed websites, probably a little bit smarter. In most cases, they give you a little bit more resources and you get specialized support with WordPress Managed. And honestly, it's not that much more expensive and it is still a shared hosting platform, but WordPress Managed accounts tend to be a little bit more restrictive. And the reason for this is not only is WordPress so popular and it's just basically a way that companies can sell you more services, but it also does tend to take a little bit smarter tech support to help you when it comes to WordPress issues. I have called that huge company so many times about WordPress issues that were their problem, where it took 5 or 6 phone calls to get somebody that could fix the problem in 5 seconds, whereas the first 3 or 4 guys said, oh, we don't do WordPress, that's not our problem, you know, goodbye. And I mean that big company that actually had the race car with the cute driver. I'm going to tell you, I used to just like, wow. Now, having said that, I host most of my domains with them. I just don't do websites with them. So WordPress managed websites tend not to support email. That means you have to go to a third-party company, SendinBlue, there's a variety of them, and do some changes at your domain registrar to point your domain name, part of it, and this is where it gets a little more advanced, to your email hosting company, and the core name servers will be pointed at where you host your website. Now, really not that bad of a deal at all, because it's always good to have your email at a separate place, because this comes back to where I said you are likely going to move your website every 2 or 3 years. And the reason for that is that when you first sign up for hosting, almost every company gives you a fantabulous deal. They'll give you 50 to 60% off. And that's where I tell my customers, go here, sign up for as long as you can stand, which is 3 years. And in 3 and 2 years and 8 months, we'll start finding what is now better, hopefully, hosting, and we'll move your website because your next hosting bill is going to be brutally expensive. I'm dealing with that now with 2 clients. For example, their original bill was about $260, included the SSL certificate, which you'd like to see even Let's Encrypt included in your hosting, for $260 for 3 years. When they renewed that with SSL, their bill is literally triple because they're not getting a free SSL anymore, and their hosting has gone up by a factor of 50%. So their bill went from $260 for the first 3 years to a little over $900. The way you fix that is you move your website. WordPress, pretty easy to move, and your new host will be glad to help you move your website. So you just have to be aware that your domain needs to be current, and you need to have at least a month or so in case you have any accidents to move your website. And again, most hosts will move your website. And there are plenty of websites out there that rate hosts for websites. You just need to, my motto is I visit 5 or 6 different websites, look at their content to make sure it's unique, and then I pick the 5 best companies and I start looking at their Google reviews to see if they're a company. And then I call them up. It's so important to call up a future host to see where their service is and if they answer the phone in a time frame that won't irritate you. That's a huge deal. And really, this is going to wrap it up on domain names and hosting. If you got a question, give me a call. Thanks for listening. I am John Wood. Have a great day.